The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Had a wonderful weekend, at least a good one, as we walk into yet another week in the month of August. Only one more to go, and then it's September. And I think in September, if I remember correctly, isn't that the month when the trees start to turn all of their pretty colors and we get to see a symphony of visual treats? At least it used to be that way. But with the climate changing and weather patterns changing, I think the trees are in for some confusion this year. Let's hope not. At least something in Mother Nature might stay constant. We're trying our best to ruin it. Tex Mars is with us on the third Monday of each week. It is this nice tonight. Tex, one of the great people of our time. I'm really honored always to have him on the program. I always learn. And he has single-handedly researched and produced, without question, the most significant body of books and DVDs that I can think of offhand in the field of researching the global elite, and, of course, trying to understand world Zionism and Jewish Zionism and Jews in general. When you look at the number, and look this up, Jewish world population, it's 0.3, 0.2. It depends on who you're consulting. I mean, it's a fly speck on an elephant. And if you have any question about it, the names tell the story. Yes, a lot of Jews used to change their names. Some still do. John Stewart, for example, of the television comedy channel fame, his news satire program, is Jewish. John Stewart doesn't sound Jewish, but that goes way back. There are so many Hollywood celebrities who've changed their names. John Stewart's brother, by the way, is the president of the New York Stock Exchange. So, yeah, you can talk bloodlines, but more than that, you can talk money lines. That's where it's all connected. Tex is going to talk tonight about some interesting things about Jews on the planet. We could do the same thing about Catholics or Buddhists or any other group, but since Jews wield such ungodly power for the numbers that they actually represent on the planet, they warrant special attention. Facts are facts. They're very proud of their power, so we should spend a little time understanding that. Hello, Tex, and welcome back.
Hey, Jeff, it's great to be with you again.
Thank you, my friend.
You know, I would like to talk tonight about not just the Jews, but myths.
Oh, there
are MYTHS, you know, fables, myths of the Jews. Because there are a lot of myths and fables out there, and as an evangelical Christian, I've heard so many over the years, you know, the miracle of this or the miracle of that. And
sure.
So I've done a lot of research on this, and I'm even considering writing a book on, just entitle it, The Myths of the Jews. because most of these are, in fact, myths. But they sound good when you first hear them, but then you do some research, you know, you scratch beneath the veneer, you find out it's not quite the way it...
Let me say something, if I might, just to underscore what you're saying. In this day and age of such fast-paced news and developments on the Internet, very few people spend any time at all researching or verifying or vetting anything. They read it, they accept it, and what do? They hit their forward key, and they send it to their best friend, especially alarming pieces of disinformation. There's a story running around now about FEMA allegedly preparing for Region 3, something terrible in October, by October 1st. And this story is running all over the place. I don't know if you saw it or not, but I asked somebody, Jim Kerwin, to look into it. I said, Jim, look into this for me. No one researches anything. Find out who these people are. Well, it was a woman narrating this piece, and she was alluding to a senator told me that he has received word that. Well, okay. The senator was a state senator, and he'd been out of politics, it turns out, for over 30 years. Made him sound like he was a heavyweight big senator of today in some state. And when they tried to find out who this woman was, it was a dead trail. They couldn't find out. So the point is here, we know that the government and our tax dollars are being spent to hire fakes, frauds, and manipulators to float stories just like this on the Internet. So the sheep go into a panic and start running around in circles chasing their non-existent tails. It gets silly after a while, and I urge people, please don't jump on the bandwagon of these fear-mongering, fake, fraud, hoaxed stories. And that's a myth, too. A lot of this stuff is true. It's not. It's a myth. And again, the Jewish population in the world is 0.2 at best percent.
That's right. But they've got some important friends, Jeff. In the United States of America, the big bully, you know, they drag around with him, and he does a pretty good job in the Middle East and some other places. But I've really ferreted out 9 myths, and I don't know if we'll get to all of those tonight. If we just get to 4 or 5, it'd be great.
Well, we will. Let's go.
All right, great. Well, the first one, of course, is the biggest of all. It's that Jews are the eternal people. They're the chosen race. The chosen people of God. I mean, think about that. With all the Buddhists and the Hindus, all of these religions in the world, the Jews are the chosen people of God. Now, the problem with that is as you know, I sent you a copy of my newest book entitled DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline.
Wonderful book.
Yes, science says there is no race called the Jews. And those in the world who call themselves Jews today actually come from Khazaria. And they've never been to Israel. Their ancestors were not, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
The historians have been saying this, Jeff, for many years. You know, we've had Arthur Kessler of the 13th Tribe. His book was an outstanding book. We recently had a book, The Invention of the Jewish People, by a well-known Israeli writer, Dr. Shlomo Sand. And even the archaeologists have said the Jews actually are not Jews. They're not Israelites. They're Khazars. So we now have DNA science to confirm this.
Correct.
Of course, you know, the little-time geneticists, the Jews, they're running around saying, oh, no, this can't be. We want to be Jews. They're just dying to be Jews. And when you show them the science and said, well, you're not a Jew, you know, you're a Khazar, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with Khazar. Oh, yes, there is, because if I can't be a Jew, I don't have the land, and I don't have all these goodies that America and everybody else has given us. And God didn't give us the title to the land. What are we going to do now? So they're really desperate. They're hanging on, because the fact is there is no race in the world called Jews. It is a religion called Judaism, but as you know, Marilyn Monroe, Sammy Davis Jr., the black actor, all of these people were also Jews because they practiced Judaism. But there is no race. And if you walk up to a guy and he says, I'm a Jew, you know he's a Khazar. He's almost always a Khazar. There are a couple little sects, the Mizrahim and the Sephardic, but it looks like they're not even Jews either. So it's a hoax. Now, not many Jews really understand this. I really think the elite do. But DNA science confirms. And by the way, in my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, you know, I have all the background for it. In fact, it turns out that the Palestinians have more Israelite blood coursing right. through their veins
yeah.
than do the people who call themselves Jews.
Exactly
so they're just
right.
a bunch of Khazars who, you know, they immigrated from the Caucasus in southern Russia.
The Caucasians.
Caucasians. And so they're not even, here's the real problem for them. They say in their book of the laws, the Halakha, the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, they don't really obey the Bible. They don't care about the Bible anymore. But they believe in this book written by the rabbis called the Babylonian Talmud. It says Gentiles are inferior. They're like cattle or insects. And the Jews are like gods on earth. God even goes to the rabbis for advice. The problem is now that the Khazars know that they're not Jews, that they're Khazars, well, then they become just like us. They're not special. They're not God's chosen. And they're like, I mean, I get letters every day now. This book has only been out, what, 2 or 3 weeks?
Uh-huh.
I'm getting letters from Jews every day, you know, threatening my life and telling me you can't say that.
Are they really? Well, not surprised.
We've got to be Jews.
Yeah.
One guy said, to hell with the science. You know, they don't even care about the science.
No. It's a state of mind. That's what it is. Now, we're going to go through this break, Brett, thanks. When did just to give our listeners a little historical perspective, the Khazars, the Khazarian Empire, when did they adopt Judaism as their formal official state religion? It doesn't go back to the times of Jesus or before or even shortly after. It was hundreds and hundreds of years later that the Khazars said, their king or whoever he was, their CEO declared, "We are Jews." And
that's right. Well, that was in the 8th century.
That's
so they
right.
already had the Muslim world, had the Christian world. He had to choose from the three big religions, and I guess he decided. Now, the reason he chose Judaism was he heard about Solomon. And Solomon had all those wives and all that sex and had this great grand court. And he said, "That's what I want." And it turned out this King Bulan of Khazaria, he had over 60 beautiful wives, big harem, and he felt like he was like King Solomon. And, you know, you don't really have that in the Islamic, certainly the Christian faith. So that was sort of his thing, you know, I want to be like King Solomon, this rich king. And Khazaria was a fairly rich country, and he sort of got away with it. So for a while, until the Russians came down, the Tsars, and conquered Khazaria. Many of the Khazarian people then immigrated over into Poland, Lithuania, Hungary, Romania, Eastern Europe. And that's where Dr. Iran Elhaik, in his DNA studies, found them. But he says they all came from Khazaria. They had never, ever, ever been to Israel, not even set one foot on it. So in 1948, when the so-called Jews went over to Israel, which was Palestine. They said, we're gonna return to Israel. Well, they had never been there, so they couldn't return at all. And in fact, they were communists from Poland, and I'll get into that later, but basically, Tel Aviv was called Little Poland. Little Poland. And the building they operated in, mm-hmm. their first government, the Khazar Jews, was actually called the Red House. And they were all known as communists, and communism gave them all their weapons and everything. And Joseph Stalin and our President Truman, on the very same day, recognized them as a nation. So it was basically the commies, Joseph Stalin, and a capitalist. And it turns out that Stalin did it because so many Jews were in Russia that he did them a favor. And he wanted the communists to control Israel, so that's why he took the communists in Poland, gave them all Jewish names, and they went down into Israel. They were all communist Poles. Now imagine that. In fact, here's a little goodie for you. Every prime minister since 1948 of the new refounded Israel has been a Pole. He's been from Poland, except Benjamin Netanyahu. He was born in Israel, but his father, Benzion Netanyahu, was a Pole. So they're all a bunch of communists. And they've had Obamacare there all these years. They've got socialist health care and all these things.
Yeah.
They can afford to be communists, though, because their whole economy is propped up by the United States Treasury. So they can afford to be communists. There's no problem at all. They're getting a lot of money. It's been estimated that up to $4.5 trillion since 1948 has been given by America to Israel. So these are just facts. How much money has the Palestinians gotten from the United States? Oh, my goodness. It's like peanuts compared to that.
Not even. Grains of sand. Nothing.
Right. By the way, the Bible. Now, I know your audience doesn't want to hear about the Bible. The Bible confirms. It actually says that genealogies, you know, the studies of race and how much, your DNA and all that, is foolishness. In 1 Timothy 1:4 and Titus 4:99, it says they're fables. Genealogies don't even pay any heed to genealogies. They're unprofitable and vain. And yet these Jews are going wacko. They're going nuts over my book. I mean, I told you about that couple that, I mean, the woman put her finger in my face and said, you better change your name off that book and go into hiding.
When was this, Tex? When was this?
Well, this was 1 week before the book was published. I was at a friend's house, and he had invited this couple over, wanted me to meet them. They were from Romania. I didn't know they were Jewish, or I'm not even sure to this day. But they were very kind, very nice people, and they said, what book are you writing now, Mr. Mars? I said, well, I'm writing DNA Science in the Jewish Bloodline. And my goodness, they went crazy. They immediately left, and she stuck her finger in my face and said, change your name off that book and go into hiding.
Wow.
And they left. They left. I mean, it was like amazing. This is the biggest secret of the Jews. I know what happened to Arthur Koestler. In 1973, I think it was, he wrote his book, The 13th Tribe. He was a great historian, a great writer, and he was Jewish. But
Very brave man.
He ended up killing himself. The Jews hounded him to death because he wrote this historical book, The 13th Tribe. But now, Jeff, now we have DNA science. Now we have a little bit. In 68, they came up, Watson and Crick came up with DNA science. In 2001, Dr. Ariella Oppenheim and her team from Hebrew University found it was that the Jews are Khazars. Then in 2012, Dr. Elhike from Johns Hopkins Medical University, you can't get any more prestigious than that, he found it in his study. And he put it in an article in the Journal of Genome Biology and Evolution. And that it turns out that particular journal is published by the Oxford Press. And its editor is Dr. Don Grau, University of Houston. He used to be with Tel Aviv University. He won, get this now, one of the top prizes in the world as a biologist, the Humboldt Prize. He had to go over to Germany to get the prize. That's the kind of DNA scientists that are discovering the DNA of the Jews. Now, they have some little bitty geneticists, and they're running around with their heads cut off, you know, screaming and hollering about this. But even DNAconsultants.com says this is the definitive study. And what does it find? They're Khazars. When Benjamin Netanyahu came over and spoke to our Congress, and there was, you know, all of the Congress together as one, and he actually said, God gave us the title to this land 5,000 years ago. He gave who? He's a Khazar. His father wasn't born there. He was born in Poland.
Well, it's just a bald-faced lie.
He was born there because he's not that old.
Right.
But isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. And how many standing ovations did he get? 29, something like that?
I think 29 standing ovations. But they're all saying that. See, Mike Huckabee, I was watching him on Fox TV, and he was broadcasting from Israel. He said, we've got to stand by the Jews. This is their land. God gave them the title 5,000 years ago. These are Khazars. They've never been to Israel. It's sort of like saying that, imagine this. The Japanese come over to Texas and say, God gave us that land 5,000 years ago. Well, I believe it was the Mexicans, but it's not the Mexicans, it's the Japanese. Well, I'd kick them out, wouldn't you? I mean, what are you doing over here? And yeah. The Khazars come from southern Russia, and they go to Israel and say, God gave us the title of this land. Uh-huh. They've never been there. Their blood cannot be traced back, further back than King Bulan, I suppose, of Khazaria. It's really comical. It's like God has played a great confounding hoax on the Jews and evangelical Christians. You know, DNA has been called God's mathematics.
Uh-huh.
And yes. Christians need to pay a little attention. I mean, we have the Bible that says, that talks about the foolishness of genealogy. Why didn't the Christians read that? Then they would not have been deceived all these years. They would have known, pay no heed to the foolishness of genealogies. That's what it says in the Bible. And so this is the big myth of the Jews right now. And my book is the first out there. I can see why. No publisher in New York would publish this.
It doesn't say Simon and Schuster on it, I noticed.
Well, I used to have books by Simon and Schuster.
Yeah,
to have McGraw-Hill, the big publisher, but
those
they don't
days are over.
Anymore.
No. This book, again, I'm going to put the full title under it with a link right under Tex's name. If you are truly interested in understanding this and who is running the world, it's really not historically, in a DNA sense, the Jews. It's the Khazars hiding behind Judaism. And ultimately, they're Zionists hiding behind Judaism, and it's kind of a double-tiered fraud. DNA, Science, and the Jewish Bloodline by Tex Mars is just out, and already death threats. You know you're doing something academically very interesting when this happens, and it's there. It's there. Now, nobody knows this stuff. I'd be willing to bet that if you were to talk to 100 average Jewish Americans, one-on-one, and just ask them, that they wouldn't know. Most of them wouldn't know. Some would. But I'll bet the majority would not know.
You know, you're so right, Jeff, but I have found out something amazing. I have found that the very rich billionaire Jews are now very privately and quietly buying up all the DNA companies. For example, Sergey Brin, one of the founders of Google.
Yeah, Sergey Brin and his wife is into this whole DNA thing. They built a big lab, $20 million lab for them, or they got a grant. They're definitely in the DNA. Absolutely. Sergey Brin and Larry Page, one or both of their wives are geneticists,
yes.
And they're heavily involved in this.
That's right. And I found out the number two company, 23andMe.com.
That's it.
And the third ranked company in the United States is also owned by a Jew. Now why there's so few Jews? Why are they so interested in DNA? I understand they even have a secret agreement with the Mormons on how they're going to handle DNA. And I think it's because if you go to them and say, okay, I'm a Jew, I would like you to analyze my DNA, they'll come back and say, okay, you're a Jew, but I want to know if I go further. No, we don't do that.
Yeah, no, of course not. Now, I'll tell you why I think they're involved with it. In just a couple minutes. Hang on a second. Tex is with us, and we'll be back with you great folks right after this. Okay, welcome back. Tex Mars is with us. Well, we got through one of the nine, Tex. We'll see how far we get here. Now, here's the big story. I'm not sure you saw this because it came and went very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
DARPA is going to genetically engineer all of us by creating and adding a 47th chromosome to the cells of our bodies.
Uh-huh.
Okay? This is a big, big, big deal. Because each chromosome, there are 46, carries the genes. Now, they're having trouble plugging in genes into the existing chromosomes because there's not enough room. I don't want to go into that. So they're going to literally install a new circuit. And that circuit will be able to carry all kinds of genetic markers, little genes. Here's the story. In that 1997 film, society is structured around eugenics as people are bioengineered to be perfect specimens, and one's entire life and position in the world is based on their genetics. Those conceived naturally without genetic screening are proclaimed invalid and only allowed menial jobs, despite the innate talents and skills they may possess. Alternately, the 2011 movie, In Time, portrays a dystopic future where humans are genetically programmed to stop aging at 25 and could live forever, so long as they earn enough time credits to afford to stay alive. All right, blah, blah, blah. Now, the project by DARPA has just put out, and this is clever, they're putting out a solicitation. They're advertising for a project called Advanced Tools for Mammalian Genome Engineering on the government's Federal Small Business Innovation Research site. So they're putting this out there. Now, that means one thing to me. Basically, they don't need our help. They've already done this. So they're going to go through the motions and run a parallel program, maybe pick up some bonuses. All right? Now, these human artificial chromosomes, the 47th chromosome that they're going to construct and add to the human being is called an HAC, a human artificial chromosome. They are going to hack us. They're hacking into our DNA. Two quotes. I'll send you this story. The ability to deliver exogenous outside DNA to mammalian cell lines is a fundamental tool in the development of advanced therapeutics, vaccines, and cellular diagnostics, as well as for basic biological and biomedical research. Unspecified. The successful development of technologies for rapid introduction of large DNA vectors into human cell lines will enable the ability to engineer much more complex functionalities into human cell lines than are currently possible. All right? The project's stated objective is to improve the utility of human artificial chromosomes, HACs. Here's the second quote. A human artificial chromosome, a HAC, is a microchromosome that can act as a new chromosome in a population of human cells. That is, instead of 46 chromosomes, the cell could have 47, with the 47th being very small, roughly 6 by 10 megabases in size, and able to carry new genes introduced by human researchers. They're underplaying it here. This is a massive innovation. They're going to be able to plug in genes into any of us and literally reconfigure us on the hoof. Oh. This is the most evil thing I have ever seen. And you mentioned Sergey Brin's wife. They're into genetics. They're all into... That's why they're buying up the genetic companies, because they're going to be able to introduce new chromosomes techs and plug in as many unholy, satanic, inhuman genes as they want.
Wow.
That's what this is all about.
So they're finding, of course, that they're not really Israelites. They have no connection at all. But they want to go even beyond that into the super range.
Exactly.
Is that the way you see it?
Yeah. They're going to make super people out of some and dullards out of others. They'll do anything they want. Once you introduce the genes into a body, the body is directed by those genes, as we know.
Mm. Boy, that's just this new brave new world, isn't it, all over again?
It's beyond that, I think.
It is. And this is what they're spending billions of our taxpayer dollars for.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they're not asking anyone. They're not, the Congress oh. claim that they don't even know what's going on. Of course, I think they know a little bit more than they put on. But nevertheless, generally, I don't think that Congress is especially a smart set of people. And I think it's over their heads, too. It's an amazing thing. Okay. I saw that article. I did not think of the significance, but now I do.
It's huge. I sent it to Michelle. If you want to email me or give my producer another direct email, I'll get it right directly to you. So
wonderful. Okay.
Yeah, that's a big story.
Okay, the second myth. That is a big story. The second myth is that Israel is God's eternal kingdom. First of the eternal people, which is not true. And now we see them as Israel being God's eternal kingdom. Now, the problem with that is that Jesus himself said, and this is Matthew 21, verse 43, quote, "The kingdom is taken from you and given to another nation that will bear fruit." Meaning he formed a Christian nation. And so the kingdom was taken from Israel. In fact, Paul said the Jews will be cast out of the kingdom. They will not inherit the kingdom. That was in Galatians 4 and 6. So, by the way, Jesus also said in Matthew 23, he prophesied, "Your house, the house of Israel, is left to you desolate." And that's the last thing we see in the Bible, basically. You know, they're left desolate. So he also warned them, as you recall, that not one stone would be left on another of the temple. And that is why, you know, here comes another myth, the myth of the Wailing Wall. Wailing Wall, archaeologists...
One of the biggest frauds of all. Yes.
It is. It's Fort Antonia of the Romans. It's a wall, all right, but it's not from the old, Herod's temple.
No, it's a Roman fort.
It's actually the old Roman fort there.
Yeah.
So when all of these big politicians go to Jerusalem and they take them to this old Roman fort wall that's still there, and they actually put prayers down and stick them in the cracks. Now that's incredible. That's like mumbo jumbo. You know, if you don't get your, you know, prayer written on a crack and put it in the wall there in the crack, then it won't be answered. I mean, where's that at in the Bible? Where's that in any kind of scripture? It's silliness, but it's hard to remind you, you know, the Jewish rabbis wear phylacteries. That's little leather boxes on their heads. What are those? They're pieces of scripture. So they wear a scripture on their foreheads. All of this is mumbo jumbo, of course. But there you have, you know, President Obama putting his little prayer in there. And some little rabbi follows him up.
All the American flunkies, bootlickers do it. Every one of them. Hold on, Tex, just a minute. We have to pause and be right back with Mr. Tex Mars. His book again, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Tex Mars. Okay, back with Tex. All right, my friend, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. I don't know how Tex does it, but his books are frequent and they are extraordinarily well researched. They're science. All right, Tex, go ahead.
Well, Jeff, the third myth of the Jews is that Jerusalem is the eternal city. You know, it's the capital of the Holy Land, but is it really holy? Well, in Revelation 9, in the book of Revelation in the Bible, we find that at a certain time in history that is to come, a beast, it's called a dark angel, his name is Abaddon or Apollyon, he rises up out of the pit of hell. He has legions of devils with him, and they go forth like locusts to sting people, and they're basically demon spirits. And that sounds bad enough, but here's the problem, is that Revelation 11, two chapters hence in the book of Revelation, it turns out this beast, where does he rise up? Where is this pit of hell? It's right in Jerusalem. It's right in Israel. He rises up there in Jerusalem. So what we have now is Israel rising up, all of these demon forces coming out of the pit. And the Bible says that many will be killed because of them. Well, we're seeing many deaths and horrors by Israel and the United States perpetrated on the people of the Middle East. Now, here's what we need to understand. That Jesus, yes, Jesus, there in Revelation 11, calls this city, he has a certain name for it. Now remember, the Christians call it the Holy Land. The Jews call it the Holy Land. What does God call it? He gives it a spiritual name. It is called Sodom and Egypt. That's the name of it. Sodom and Egypt. It is the most wicked city in the world. That is Jerusalem. And God himself named it Sodom and Egypt. Now Paul, the Apostle Paul knew about this. He said, here on earth we have no continuing city, but we look for a heavenly city to come. So Paul said all the apostles, none of them looked for Jerusalem or an earthly city. They all looked for a heavenly city where there would be a temple built without human hands. So we don't even have a continuing city. So Jerusalem is not the eternal city. So if you want to be there for that fateful date, I don't know when it's going to be, but it could be very soon when the demons of hell come out of there. It's already, you know, they call it the gay capital of the world. You know, they have the big gay pride parades and the homosexuals going down the street.
More so than San Francisco, huh?
Yeah, it's the gay capital of the world there in Jerusalem. They say there's more brothels per square mile in Tel Aviv than in any city on earth. Think about that. More whorehouses in Jerusalem.
How interesting. You never hear about it. No.
Yeah. No, you don't. But in Haifa and Tel Aviv, all of these brothels. And by the way, they bring in the slave trade and they force the girls there. But all the time you're seeing that there's a lot of arrests being made of pimps. They're all Jewish pimps being arrested in Tel Aviv, Haifa, and so forth.
There's always someone to take their place, though.
There is. There really is. Now, a fourth myth is that Judaism is a true religion. It's not. I mean, this is something you'll never see on TV. There'll never be some Christian show that says, we're going to tell you what Judaism is. They're frightened to death. They won't even... I mean, it's so easy to go to the Zohar, to the Kabbalah books, or even to the Babylonian Talmud, and find out what the Jewish religion really is. Now, what happens is you go to a rabbi and he says, oh, it's the Old Testament. In fact, listen to this. The rabbis do not study the Old Testament. A rabbi can go all the way through seminary, equivalent, the yeshiva, it's called, the religious school, and never read one page. Never read one page out of the Bible.
Pretty tough academic regimen there.
That's right. Well, he reads these volumes called the Babylonian Talmud. Who are they written by? The Jewish rabbis. That's the 613 laws. They got to study those 613 laws, but they never study the Bible. They don't even, you can't argue with them over the Bible. They don't even know what it is, hardly. Now, here's the whole thing. When you find out in Judaism, they believe in one God, but he has many manifestations. It's like I was on a show one day, I was, and a woman called in, she was a Hindu. She said, in Hinduism, we have only one God. I said, ma'am, you got a million. She said, oh, they're all the same God, but they have different names. I said, well, they're all different beings. Yes, but they're all the same God. So this is what we have. We have many gods in Judaism. In fact, in the Tree of Life, in their Zohar, now, this is the official doctrine. Think about this, Jeff. that they have a tree of life. And the chief deity, she's down at the bottom in the descending part of it, is called Malkuth. She's the queen. Now, Malkuth is another name for Moloch. I think you know who that god is. Moloch is the queen, or Malkuth. Now, they also have a deity, and I'm sorry to say this on the air, but it is a penis deity. It's represented by the male phallus. His name is Hesod, H-E-S-O-D. Hesod and Queen Malkuth are constantly having sex in the Judaic religion. They're constantly having sex. And so, you know, eventually if they have enough sex, they will be able to raise the great serpent deity, whose name is Leviathan. Now, isn't that the strangest religion? So they have a queen, Malkuth, or Moloch, who has sex with Hesod, who is actually the phallic deity, and they both raise together the serpent deity, who, when he's raised up from the abyss, which I believe is the same one as Apollyon or, you know, Abaddon, he then will give the Jews their kingdom. The serpent deity.
Is that where the word Leviathan came from and the Jewish name Levi?
Right, exactly. Leviathan. Exactly. He's a serpent deity. And by the way, they believe that he's a symbolic serpent, and yet many of them believe in him. And they believe that literally when they take over the world, they're going to have a great communion. At their communion, they're going to eat the flesh of the serpent, who is their deity, and they're going to take his skin, a great serpent, and they will have a wall all over Jerusalem, and they will put his skin on it, and it will give out the light that they need, this serpent light. So they're looking for the light of the serpent. They're looking for Leviathan to come upon the world. And then finally, they worship numbers. Numerology is very big in the Kabbalah. Now, as you know, many people, Bill Clinton has been studying the Kabbalah. He wears his little red, you know, wristband. Hillary got into it. Britney Spears, she's into it. This is what we're studying.
Recently, Tex? The Clintons recently?
Yeah, well, Bill Clinton, it's been a few years, but they have pictures of him. And you see these people with a little red cord around their wrist. That's right. Given them because they're studying. That, by the way, that wards off all the evil spirits.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yes. And so that's why Britney Spears, you know, she doesn't have any problem at all mentally, because she's got the red cord. Now, they also believe in, they're big in numbers. For example, 666 is a holy number in Judaism. They actually say that it has this number, and by the way, this is from a Judaic website. You know, you can read about it yourself, but it says that Rabbi Hesod, one of the chief rabbis, says that 666 has lofty messianic potential. Now, isn't that just special? Lofty, I wrote it down exactly, lofty messianic potential, 666. So, the Zohar, then, the Judaic religion, has many gods, but when you ask a rabbi, he'll say, we believe in only one God. But, of course, like the Hindus, they have millions of gods and goddesses, but they say, oh, we only worship one God. But they're all the same. They're just many manifestations of the God.
That's a multiple personality disorder, what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so, too. Now, all of this, I believe, came from Babylon. And by the way, in Freemasonry, they worship all these same gods and goddesses, but they have a different system. Now, the six-pointed star has the symbology of 666. It also is worshipped in Freemasonry. So that's why the Masonic Lodge, Albert Pike, actually said that the Jewish religion and the Masonic are the same. He said all of our rituals came from the Kabbalah. So there you go. You know about the Masons, what they are, and why so many Jews are Freemasons today.
No.
So shall I go on?
Well, we're just about out of time, but okay. If you'd like, I don't know what you're awfully busy, but You could come back on Thursday of this week, on the 22nd, okay, for part two, if you'd like, and we'll wrap this up. Would you like to do that?
I think that'd be wonderful.
All right. I'm going to mark it down right now.
Got a lot more, and it just gets so... By the way, one of the things I'd really like to tell people is the IQ of the Jews. I've read so many Jews themselves who say, we're smarter. Mm-hmm. That's why we get ahead in business, so we're smarter. In fact, their IQ is the 34th country in the world, Israel. The 34th.
Really?
Mongolia has the same IQ as the Jews do. So,
wow.
you know, if it says we have a high IQ, yeah, I know, same as in Mongolia.
Mm-hmm.
The USA has a higher IQ than does Israel. And I'll be glad to quote that work, too, on Thursday when I'm there.
Okay, we'll do it. All right, that's fascinating, Tex. Tex's book again, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. And keep in mind that Tex mentioned they are buying up the DNA genetic businesses fast and developing them. And there are reasons for all this. It's all part of the pathway to total... You can't say cradle to grave anymore, because actually pre-cradle to the grave. They're lining things up at the DNA level at the moment of conception. This is getting to be pretty crazy. All right, Tex, thank you. Talk to you on Thursday, part two.
Thank you, Jeff. God bless.
Okay, bye-bye. You too. Good night. All right, wow. Okay, we'll be right back.